Good morning. Thank you, Carol, for starting us off in such a lovely way this morning. Please turn into your blue hymnals into number 671 for a call to worship, please. O God, we come seeking you in our worship together. We come to you for truth because we are untrue. We come to you for strength because we are weak. We come to you for wisdom because we are unwise. Move in our midst. Show us your truth, your strength, and your wisdom through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We will now sing Holy, 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 which is number 120 in your hymnal.
Oh, please stand. And if you would remain standing for the prayer that I have.
Your heads for a word of prayer. You were accused, good teacher. You ate with sinners. You touched the unclean. You offended common decency. We had thought you came to bless us, but you keep going to those we do not understand, those we do not trust, those we fear. We want you to confirm our prejudices, but you shatter them. Samaritans, children, lepers, women, tax collectors, a sick friend, a banker. All these you blessed and healed. Those we distance ourselves from, you actually touch. We grumble at you, not sure that we can follow you in this way, not strong enough to overcome what we have always been taught, not open enough to see the depth and breadth of your grace. Forgive us, Jesus. Turn our grumbling into acts of courage. Turn our codes of conduct into the conduct of compassion. Turn our condemnation of others into the awareness of our failure to love others with your grace and compassion. Forgive us, Jesus, and make us new until we become one of the, with the lost ones, until we become lost in your love. Amen. So good morning and welcome, everyone. How's everybody this morning? A little bit of wind-blown hair, I see. The trees are trying to fall down, but not quite. They're bending, but not breaking, like our faith. So if you turn into your bulletin, there's a few announcements that I'd like to highlight. And I see the Lage family is walking in at this time. Sorry, didn't mean to point you out, but I don't see Matthew. So is he already at camp? Great. So please be with Matthew as he is at camp this week. He's working with the maintenance crew for the next couple of weeks. So please keep him in your prayers. And number four, the caregiving team is looking for several people to join them. So if you are interested, please talk to one of the caregivers, or of course, you can always talk to Pastor Gary. Or if you would like to nominate somebody that you think has these gifts, of course, you may tap them on your on their shoulders as well. Also, and I'll have to tell you, this is an interesting experience. Made more so interesting by my involvement in it than otherwise, but it's not too late for you to choose your biblical character that you'd like Pastor Gary to talk about. And you'll see why I'm saying what I'm saying in a little while. I'm a banker, so I got to talk about the finances, so please read that piece in the about the finance committee. And at this point, please draw your attention to Numbers 1 and 2. Condolences are extended to Peter and Sarah Peters, Pam and David Jansen, Vanessa Peters, and Hayden and Callie Siemens, and the extended family and friends on the passing of their mother, mother-in-law, grandmother, and great-grandmother, Katerina or Tina Willems, who was age 93 in Calgary. We extend our sincere sympathies and pray for God's comfort upon all the families. Condolences are also extended to Elsa Braun and the family and friends on the passing of her husband, Gerhard or George Braun, age 89. Funeral services will be here on Thursday, July 3rd at 10:30. Mission Choir members are asked to be at the church at 10 o'clock, please. Our sincerest sympathies are extended as we pray for God's comfort upon all these families. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go to our prayer, is there any sharing this morning? Ingo does have a mic in the back.
Hello, Swatsky. I'd like to announce that we had a grandson this week. It's grandchild number 10. Our son Vico and Teresa had a baby boy, and he's loved by sisters Sarah and Madeline and ignored by brother Joshua.
Would you bow with me as we bring our collective concerns and thanks to God. God, we get lost in the stuff of life. We get very involved with things that go on, and when things don't go quite the way we think they should, we tend to focus on them a lot. But when we step back a little and we remember who you are and who you have called us to be, when we take a look at what you have given us in life and family around us and all the wonderful things that we have at our disposal, we are so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for the work that we have, for family, for the country that we live in. Thank you for the weather, even if it gets a little bumpy from time to time. Here we are, still doing okay. Thank you for the way that you invite us to see the task that you have of caring for your world. Invite us to join you in that. We do want to come and ask forgiveness for the times when we forget. We forget about others and we just focus on who we are and our issues. So we ask that you would forgive us. Give us eyes to see what goes on around us. There are so many that we would lay before you this morning, God, to ask that you would walk with them and hold them close and gently. We think of Peter and Sarah as they are still in Coaldale. Be with them as they meet as a family today and as they travel back tonight and remembering the family. Be with Elsa Braun, as she has said goodbye to her husband of almost 65 years. And God, there's going to be many nights when the apartment feels large. And so be with her and be with us also as we extend your hands of sympathy and comfort and care and love to her. We think of new children born. How exciting is that? Be with the parents and may they celebrate this new life and may it enrich their lives. We pray also for our larger world. We think about Winnipeg and the issues that go on here. We look forward to October and the discussion for the elections has already begun. We long for the best for our city, so be with the candidates. We think also of our larger world, and we think especially of Syria, Iraq, and the continued unsettledness in Ukraine and Russia. Be with those folks. We are so grateful for those who go in your name to these areas to hold hands, to feed the hungry, to bind up the broken, to attend to wounds. Bless them and give them strength. God, we have come this morning to worship and to praise you. So we ask that you would take the joy of our hearts as our offering that we would bring to you this morning.
Now, if you'd look in your bulletin, we have There Is a Redeemer that we will now be singing.
I would just like to introduce my sister who came all the way from Saskatoon to sing with me today. Thank you, Rita. Her name is Rita Hanoski.
Now, we've got two children and about 100 young at heart. So the two can come forward, please. We'll have a little children's story. She's starting ahead of time. Just come and sit beside me, and we'll talk to these folks. You know, today we're talking about a person by the name of Zacchaeus. And what's my last name? Zachariah. Oh, we got three. Yay, we got three. Come on. My name's Zachariah, so there's a little similarity, but not really that much. Who's ever been to a parade? Come on. Who's been to a parade? Everybody's been to a parade. All right. And what kind of parades do you go to? Corn and Apple Festival. That's my favorite parade. You know why that's my favorite parade? Because I get to visit all my aunts and uncles and cousins and second cousins and all sorts of friends and family. But you know the best part about the Corn and Apple Parade? They got great big tractors. And they put the great big tractors and the combines coming down the street and you get to look at them all and they're great big and huge, right? So where do the kids normally sit when at Corn and Apple Parade? Do you know? Hi. Hi. Now we got four. Good to see you. When I go, all the kids normally sit right up front so they can see and also get the candy that the people on the floats, flow down. Or float, throw down to the people on the side of the road. But what happens if you're going to a different kind of parade? Like, I've been to the Santa Claus parade. Have you been to the Santa Claus parade? And there's tons of people there, right? Lots and lots of people. And can all the kids get to the front of the line there? No. So what sometimes happens? Go on your mom and dad's shoulder so you can see better. That's right. Well, in our story today, Zacchaeus, he was not a not a young person, but he was small. He was short. That's what the Bible tells us, is that Zacchaeus was a short man. And he was also a tax collector. And he's a pretty important person. So he'd look pretty silly on the shoulders of somebody else, right? And you know, do you have a guess who was in this parade? Jesus was in this parade, yeah. This story comes just a couple of chapters before Palm Sunday. You remember Palm Sunday when we have the palm leaves and the people put their jackets down? Well, this was in Jericho, so it was a little bit earlier. But Zacchaeus had to climb up a tree because he was too short to see Jesus. And so part of this story really is telling me that we have to do what it takes to go and try to find Jesus and try to see Jesus. What are some of the things that you can do to go and try to find Jesus? Because we're not lucky enough to be in biblical times with Jesus there, so we can't climb a tree to go see him. But what are some of the things that we can do here, or what that you can do to try to see Jesus? Yeah. You can love others. Yeah. That's following some of Jesus' teachings. Yeah. What else? You can pray to him. That's a great way of getting closer to Jesus. How about the boys? Go to church. That's a great idea. That's a perfect example of how we can go and see Jesus. Going to Sunday school and singing with somebody that really likes singing with you, and learning your lessons from your teachers at Sunday school. How about reading your Bible? You guys all have a Bible that you can read? Yeah. You're too small to read. Well, you know what you can do then?
I can read a few books.
You can read a few books. You can get your mom and dad to read, right? And the other thing that we can do in order to seek Jesus is just ask good questions of our friends and our family, and see what they can say about Jesus and their relationship with Jesus. All right. So Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to go over to the piano here, and we're going to turn off this mic so you don't have to listen to me sing. And we're going to go and learn how to play that, how to sing that song. Okay. Let's go over here. Come on. If you want to just, and Carol and Rita are going to help. Okay. Just.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man.
No.
Can you make him really small?
Wee little man, shorter even. Just,
then he climbed. How do you climb a tree? You do that action. And then this is the old-fashioned one. The Savior for to see, so look for Jesus.
You're gonna go look for Jesus. Yeah.
Then the Savior passed that way. He looked up in the tree. He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house for tea."
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house for tea.
For I'm going to dine with thee."
One more time.
Because
I think the congregation knows it now, so everybody's
going to
sing along.
Okay. Are we going to dine or drink tea?
We're
going to
drink tea.
Okay.
this time.
And now, Rita and Carol will have our offering music.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
want to clap after something like that, don't you? I'll be reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I always like reading the title. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now we're going to do something a little bit different. So please bear with us. I have had the opportunity to worship lead with Pastor Gary a couple of times in the past. And the best part for me of worship leading was the conversation that I had with Pastor Gary in advance of the service. Of course, serving with him is an honor, but the conversation and the learning that we had, that I had with him was always wonderful. So we're going to do something a little different, and we're going to just have a conversation about this passage. So, Pastor Gary, yeah, would you mind? It's a little warm up here, and we never had these conversations dressed in suits and ties. So
tie too. I don't know. Okay. Erica Cron said I could take my jacket off, but I didn't hear anything about ties.
So anyway, Pastor Gary, part of where this came about is that I was asked, or we were all asked, to choose a favorite a biblical character, and this is a character that I sort of related to when I was a wee little person.
Why that would be.
Well, Zacchaeus, Zacharias. You see the name of the sermon here. Grew up, I went to Hope Lutheran Church on Pembina Highway, and I remember the song, and I remember the story and coloring in the material that we had all about this tax collector, this little man that climbed up on a tree. And I loved the pictures that Leanna put in the bulletin. If you look at those pictures, you see a guy hanging up on the tree, and he's got a beard too, so it's kind of cool. So that's sort of why I choose Zacchaeus, number one, the name a little bit, but I thought, I grew up to be a banker, in some ways that's almost like a tax collector, but not quite.
Yeah. You're not helping my image of bankers here.
Sorry. Yeah. We do try to give advice these days. Yeah.
All right.
That's a good thing. So,
as you've grown up and looked at this character, is there something about the story that captures you, or are there things that you've ruminated on regarding this character or the story that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, well, and it sort of jumps to the middle of the passage. The thing that jumps out the most to me is that he only had to give half his money. I'm only going to give half of my wealth to the poor. And I seem to, in some other passages, seem to recall that he had to, that others had to give it all up for their faith in Jesus. So that was sort of something that first jumped out at me when I read this part. So,
well, when you read the story, I mean, he's giving half to the poor, right?
Right.
But he also promises he's going to pay back 4 times whatever he cheated people. And so most of the time when people look at the passage, they figure the other half probably went to pay off his debts that he had. And so he landed up with nothing anyhow.
Right.
The chapter before this, in chapter 18, he's talking to
a study Bible.
Yeah, the pulpit Bible I don't usually look at. But anyway, in chapter 18, he's talking to a Pharisee. And there he says, you've got to, or a rich ruler rather, he says, you've got to give it all. Give everything you have to the poor. Come and follow me. And so, well, we'll talk about that a little bit yet, but, following Jesus, it's an all-in kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no halfway, and Zacchaeus didn't get away with that either.
No, okay. I guess that's a good thing and a bad thing. I know that those of us around the room here would probably not want to have to give up all our wealth in order to follow Jesus, but we hadn't even talked about this, but is there a way that we can give it all without giving up all of our worldly possessions? Maybe there's not a good answer for that one, but
do you hear somebody trying to get around something here?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I like my house. I like my car. You know, my CD player and my TV. I don't really want to give all that up to in order to follow Jesus.
Well, we should. I wish we had a lot of microphones here to listen to people, because most of the folks here have a few things that they own. And when they came to follow Jesus, they didn't say, oh, here's the keys to my car and my house and everything. They still live there, right? I think my understanding as I read this is that what Jesus wants is our heart. And when you take a look at the story of the rich young ruler, which starts in verse 18 of the passage before, the ruler comes to him and he says, I've done everything. I've been a good guy. I've kept all the rules. I didn't do bad stuff. I'm a good one of the good ones. And so what do I need to do to become, to enter the kingdom of heaven? And he's looking for a pat in the back, you know, sort of like us. We say, well, you know, we're good and we have this stuff, but really we're nice people. And Jesus looks at his heart and says, you're asking if we can do Jesus and the answer is no. If there's anything that takes precedence in your life, and in another passage he says, if you don't hate your mother and father and sister and brother more than me, or don't hate them, you can't follow me. And the point of it is that when we come to follow Jesus, it's everything. But an important point here is, like, nowhere in this passage that you read does it say, Jesus said to him, come down if you're willing to give it all up. Otherwise, just stay up in a tree because I want to talk to you. He just welcomes him down, and when Zacchaeus gives everything, it's not like he's told to. What Zacchaeus wanted, this is reading between the lines a little bit, but Zacchaeus was lonely and miserable, and what he really wanted was to be loved and cared for and belong and matter. And what he had was money and power, and they weren't doing it, right? And so when he came down and he experienced what he needed from Jesus, the other stuff was really not necessary anymore. He didn't need it because he had what he wanted. And so with you and me, Jeff, if the stuff that we've got gets in the way of us following Jesus, it's got to go. And if it doesn't, then as long as we're using our stuff appropriately, that's a tricky one because we only know our hearts, right? So.
Yeah. Great answer to a tough question.
So,
but I think, yeah.
Keys?
No.
Okay.
No. The other piece in here was, I always felt that it was like a sudden conversion for Zacchaeus. Like he seemed to be seeking Jesus because he did climb the tree to look upon him, but it was almost as though, just by the act of coming down and meeting Jesus, that he became a follower. So is there some backstory here that maybe I'm missing around this?
Okay, chances are, that means another way of saying I'm making up to what comes next. Chances are that there was talk among, you know how there's shop talk, even bankers talk to each other, right?
On occasion, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the tax collectors would have been chatting with each other, and one of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, had been a tax collector. Mm-hmm. And as I said, people hated tax collectors. Another reason Zacchaeus would have gone up the tree is that if people had a chance in a crowd, they would have given this guy a good elbow in the guts if they would have had a chance. And so some people thought he would have been black and blue by the time that parade was over, everybody taking a chance to take a shot at him because they really hated the guy. Where were we going again, Jeff?
Where's
backstory?
Backstory, yes.
Okay. So, probably the tax collectors would have talked to each other, you know, when they went and had coffee together or whatever tax collectors drink. And they would have said, hey, guess what? There's this guy, Jesus, you've heard about him? Yeah, everybody's heard about him. He doesn't hate us. What? And that was amazing. And then to have one of the disciples be a tax collector would have been phenomenal. And so I'm sure that buzz went around, and Zacchaeus probably made a very big point of coming to the parade to meet this person who was a Jewish rabbi who didn't hate him. All the Jews hated tax collectors because they were Benedict Arnolds, right? Use a little American history here. Basically, the Romans charged tax, not as much as Canada, tax-free day was June 9th, 43.5% of your income, just for the record. Anyhow, what the Romans would do is they wanted a lot of tax, and so they would let it out on a barter, so people would bid on it. And whoever got it would go and collect taxes, but they could collect whatever they wanted. So if you owed the Roman government $10, I could come along and say, you owe him $20. And if you say, I'm not paying, I just call over a soldier and says, this guy doesn't want to pay his taxes. And then all of a sudden you wanted to. So everybody hated these guys. They wouldn't even let him go into the synagogue. Tax collectors not allowed in. And so to find a Jewish rabbi who actually liked these losers, amazing. And so I'm sure that he came down excited about, all he was going to do was catch a glimpse. No hope of talking to him, but just catch a glimpse. So I'm guessing that would be the backstory.
Oh, great. So when we've talked earlier, you talk about Luke liking motion and movement, and maybe this sort of goes back to the beginning. Where does this story fit in Luke in terms of the rest of the story?
Luke's a fascinating book. The verse right in the middle of chapter 8, there's a switch, and all of a sudden everything's pointed toward Jerusalem. And if you take a look at this, it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and was passing through, because it's all about heading to Jerusalem and his death. And so what Luke has is building excitement as we get to that. And so the next stop, of course, is Palm Sunday, right? And so all the people are all wound up there. This is just before that. And so you have Luke having the people quite excited about meeting Jesus. But his eyes are on Jerusalem. And so we tell this story with a cross in the background, a not too distant background. We're remembering what Jesus has done for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is on the way. So these are sort of travel stories, right? Yeah, like okay. When you go to the Cornish Apple Festival and you have an incident in Morris, then that's it.
So this Jericho is sort of like Morris or Carmen on the way to Morton.
Yeah, Morton, except they had bigger trees in Jericho, yeah.
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
The end of this section, verses 9 and 10, and I don't have them here, but it talks about salvation. And I think these are pretty powerful. This is a pretty powerful piece of this, because it talks about salvation, and it talks about him being also, Zacchaeus also being a son of Abraham. Let's go there for a minute. Who is the son of Abraham, and why is this important?
Okay. At the expense of perhaps breaking into a sermon here. So really, this is really the key part, right? Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house, because this man too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. This is what the passage is heading toward. So it's basically three things in here which are really, really important. First of all, we see that Jesus comes for everyone, comes for the lost. And so if we take a look in Luke, starting at the story of the prodigal son, verse chapter 15, all the way till now, that's called the gospel of the outcasts. And so he's like the prodigal son, because of the way he treated his father, the law allowed the father to kill him. And what's the story about? The story is about inviting in. That's what God is like. And then he invites in women. Women were just not important in those days, unlike now. It also invited in the lepers, the sick people. And in those days, people thought, if you're sick, you're cursed by God. It invited in the children who were, they treated the children like they treated the neighborhood dog. Just whatever, get out of my way. They even include tax collectors. So what this passage does is say everybody is welcome. So the connection here to us is that we are all welcome, right? The gospel is the story of Zacchaeus, and this is why we call it Zacchaeus Zacharias, because it's about us. And it could be Zacchaeus Dick and Zacchaeus Both and Zacchaeus Martins and Zacchaeus Lage and whatever. Zacchaeus is us. So God comes to us, but not on the Sunday morning us, right? Sunday morning we get up, take a shower, put on deodorant, clean clothes, come to church, and we smile and say, this is who we are. Can you imagine walking into this church one Sunday morning, the screen is down, and on the screen is playing all your thoughts for the previous week? I don't know about you, but I might leave. Pretty sure I'd leave. But that's the person that Jesus is there to embrace. Not the us that we show everybody, but the real us. The us that has internal struggles, the us that isn't always as perfect as we present to other people. And that brings one more step, which is to say, if Jesus did that to these people and to us, and we're all, regardless of our health or our age or our gender or whatever, if we're all welcome in, what does it mean the church does? And so, the church needs to be like Jesus. So the question is, for whom do we open the door? And the answer is, door? You still have doors on? Rip the doors off the hinges and let everyone in. That's the function of church. The church is to invite everyone in to experience the fact that God loves them, right? And we don't open the doors as an act of benevolence. We open the door because that's what we're here for, to invite people in to experience the love of God. We'll pick it up in a second. And so that's the first part of this. Second part, salvation. Well, this talks about salvation and lost. Very often when we talk about lost, we think about hell. It's the evangelical influence we've had. Somebody's lost. Oh, they're going to hell. What lost means is that they don't know where they are. That's what lost means. Remember the story of the lost sheep? Sheep wasn't going to hell. The sheep was just lost in the bush somewhere. And many of us are lost in the bush somewhere. And Jesus has come to find us and bring us back where we belong. Salvation is reconnecting our relationship with God. So it's like if you have a marriage that's falling apart and you land up finding a good counselor who puts you back together. It's like that. We're reconnected to God. That's what salvation is. So he's coming out there and he wants to bring these people back in. But salvation isn't, we often think of salvation as something that was a result of what Zacchaeus did. So Zacchaeus is saved because he gave half his money to the poor and paid everybody back. Not so. Salvation happened before he did that. Salvation happens as a gift of God. Ephesians 2. God's part is grace, says, come on in. Our part is faith. Really? All right. And then it says, not as a result of works, so nobody can boast. So it wasn't Zacchaeus' actions. It was just the fact that God said, come on in. And you're a son of Abraham. Third part is, starts with a however. However, when we experience salvation, we change. We just do. Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist talking here. Really cool passage. Starting in about verse 8 or something like that. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized, you brood of vipers. Always a nice way to be greeted. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for I can tell you that out of these stones God can raise children of Abraham. So the idea here is that children of Abraham are people who do the things that Abraham did. What did Abraham do? God called, hey Abraham, come. Abraham in faith said, okay. And off he went, right? And so when we have experienced repentance, like I said before about the money, we don't need it anymore. We don't need to be in control. We don't need to be bossing everybody around. We don't need to keep people out of the church. We don't need any of that. Because we are children of Abraham. We have said yes to following God. And our lives change. Some of us get stuck. And then we need a nudge. We need somebody to say to us, you know, being angry all the time maybe doesn't reflect what your relationship with God is. Maybe we want to loosen up a little bit. Maybe we want to allow forgiveness to happen. Mm-hmm. Not only God forgiving us, but us forgiving others. You know, Matthew chapter 6. All that kind of thing. Anyhow, long kind of passage, but this is where Luke is bringing us. Mm-hmm. To say, we're lost. Salvation is there for us. Come and experience it. Stands there with his arms open. Nobody is outside. Mm-hmm. And come on in and see what happens. And when we encounter God, we change. Maybe it's a little bit like when you fall in love with somebody. All of a sudden you change. You know, you get manners and you dress better and all that kind of stuff. This is like that, only bigger.
Right.
Sorry, long answer, short question.
I think that's why we're here, is to get some of those long answers.
Okay.
So Zacchaeus climbs a tree and he's looking for Jesus. So the act of looking is important, as I tried to allude to in the children's story. Salvation is for us to grasp if we're looking for it. Other pieces?
I don't know. I think that we're all wired to look for God. I think there's something in us. It was Augustine who said, our hearts are not at rest until they find their rest in you, speaking to God. And I think inside all of us, there's something that's kind of churning until we encounter God. Mm-hmm. Not religion, not church, and not even being a Mennonite, wonderful as that may be, but we have a personal encounter with God. That's where we find peace. So I think all of us are up a tree of one sort or another, right? Don't you think?
I think I've been trying to climb that tree all my life. And I'm hoping that that's not an unusual thing for you to all hear. But I think that the relationship that I've had with the church, with religion, but with the relationship that I've had with Jesus is an ongoing thing. And I to me, Zacchaeus was a really lucky man because he got to see Jesus. He got to meet him in the flesh. And what we have is the ability to read the story, but we have to go by faith. We don't have that flesh. And there's a passage someplace, and I'm going way off script here, but and not that there was really a script. But there is passage that talks about that having to have that faith in the unseen. It's after the resurrection and the doubting Thomas, of course, that story and needing to have that tangible thing in front of you.
True. I mean, Hebrews 11:12 talks about that. What is faith? Faith is believing in what we don't see. But Zacchaeus, Zacharias, we have something that the first Zach didn't have, mm-hmm. and that is we've got the Holy Spirit. And so while it takes faith, there's something in us that makes things more tangible than they had. I agree with you. I would have loved to have been there. Mm-hmm. Question for you. So, and this comes from you, so I'm just throwing it back at you. You were saying the other day, did Zacchaeus climb the tree to be seen? Mm. Or was he hoping to hide up there? What do you think?
I am of two minds on that. I think he was seeking. I think he was looking to see what this Jesus person was all about. I think he was also hiding because he wasn't perhaps sure of what he was going to find when he did see Jesus. That's you talk about reading between the lines. That's really reading between
well,
the lines.
We can only guess.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I ask is I think we all have different ways of coming to Jesus, and some of us want to peek out between the branches or the leaves or whatever we peek between and see Jesus and find out what we need to. There's a bit of a control issue going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking of these two blind men who were beside the road and hollering, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." There are times when we are out to be seen by Jesus and we holler, "Help. I need some help." And if I have to climb a tree or holler from the side of the road or dig a hole in the roof and let the friend through, there are times when we holler for help too. And the wonderful thing is however we come to Jesus, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's there.
Maybe to let you wrap up what this passage means to us and how we can use this in our lives.
Well, for me, and I'm going to ask it right back at you after that, for me, this is such an incredible passage because there are times when I think I'm not worth anything. I think, why would God bother with me? We've talked about Mephibosheth before, and he said to David, "What do you want with a dead dog like me?" I love that passage. So what does God want with me? And this reminds us that we too are sons of Abraham. God loves us because he created us, and He wants to help us to be all that we can be. So I love this. I also appreciate it because it reminds us as a church to quit shutting doors. Like, open up. We can handle people who are different than us. We don't have to have an answer for everything. We're not God. God will look after it. Our job is open the door and welcome them in and just love them like crazy. God will touch their hearts. We don't need to be so worried about that. So I think that's the impact of the story for me. Mm-hmm. How about for you?
For me, the impact is having the desire to keep looking for Jesus in our lives. And the feeling that will make us better. I don't want to have to give up half my wealth, but I know that what I can do in my heart is have a good relationship with Jesus, welcome him in, and have him for tea or dine with thee, whichever way we want to go. So have him in and have him be part of our lives on a daily basis.
I've watched the way you live, Jeff, and I think you've already handed the keys over. Anyhow, nice to chat with you.
It's great. This next song is a favorite of mine, and exactly because of some of the things we've been talking about. But just the one line, "Here I am, Lord." He is asking, and we are saying that here we are.
I will make the darkness bright.
now, O people of God, as you go to enjoy the rest of a long weekend, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Now if you'll turn into your hymnals, number 76, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord.